blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days.
Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Blessing and honor.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days.
Every
tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Your kingdom
shall reign over all the earth. Sing to the Ancient of Days. For none shall compare to your matchless worth. Sing to the Ancient of Days.
Your kingdom
shall reign over all the earth. Sing to the Ancient of Days. For none shall compare to your matchless worth. Sing to the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory.
Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Amen. Do take your seats. I'd like us to spend a few moments in prayer and just suggest to you that there are two particular things we need, or we can pray about. There's lots more, but just two things in particular. Literally, just as we started, a service started in the parish church in Eccles to pray for the family of Annan Hemmings, who was murdered just a few days ago, to pray with his family, to pray for his family. But there are other hostages in various places in there, and we just need to lift them up before our Lord Jesus Christ. We just said his kingdom won't pass away. His kingdom is now, and it's real. And we need to commit these people and the people who are working there to bring help to the many millions of refugees, the various agencies and who are doing work there. Can we also pray for Scott and his family? Scott's on antibiotics. His daughter Jess is on antibiotics. Mum, the doctor, is here in England and won't be returning until Wednesday. And Jeanette has been with her parents celebrating her father's 80th birthday and has been quite shocked and distraught, is the right word, because of his deterioration in his health. and that's caused distress for them. Scott was telling me on Friday they're making their arrangements to leave the country. Well, I just thought you packed your suitcases and toddled down to the airport. But apparently not. And you have to go everywhere armed with about 25 different separate documents, to the post office, to the bank, to the town hall, to just about everywhere. And he is inundated with documents of working out progress so that he can make his way back to us. So there may be other things you want to pray about. I don't want to exclude that. But let's think of those two things. Let's think of that family. Can't begin to think what they're going through at the moment. Let's lift them up before the Lord and pray for Scott and Anne Jeanette and the two children. Let's pray. Just pray quietly, silently. Raise your voices in prayers to the Lord so that we can all join in, just as you feel led.
Thank you.
Father, when the world around us seems so dark and full of threatening things, Father, we rejoice that we can fix our eyes upon you, who are the author and finisher of our faith, Father. We put our trust in you, Father. We lift our eyes to you, Father, knowing that you love us, that you protect us. You are our provider, Father, and you are in control of all things, Father. It doesn't matter what the world does, what men do, Father, you are in control. And our faith is in you now and forevermore. Amen. We're going to sing some more. Another great song. All heavens declare. In doing this, we'll take up our offering.
The glory of the risen Lord, who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever he will be. The Lamb upon the throne.
The Lamb upon the throne.
I gladly bow the knee.
I gladly bow the knee.
And worship him alone. I will proclaim. Listen to the music. All heaven declares.
All heaven declares. The glory of the risen King. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord?
Forever he will be.
Forever he will be.
The Lamb upon the throne.
The Lamb upon the throne.
I gladly bow the knee.
I gladly bow the knee.
And worship you
For each one of us here tonight, that we would remember, Father, that first time where we recognized that you existed and that you wanted to be part of our life, Lord, and we asked you to come in and live in our hearts. And Lord, how that felt, that first time, that excitement and that love that we had for you and that recognition of how much you cared and loved us, that you sent your son to die. Lord, help us never. never to take that for granted, but to remember it every day. Remember how we felt. Remember that love and that passion that we had for you. That day when we first came to know you and asked you into our life. Lord, help us never. Lord, help us never to forget how that felt that first time. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. The wounds which Father chosen love bring many sons to glory.
Thank you. Do take a seat. I hope you've all got a copy of the newsletter. I'm not going to go all through it. The details are in there. But just to say about one thing, that's next Sunday morning and evening. It's our Harvest Festival. And if you would like to bring gifts, food in any description, that would be great to just bring it here. Gifts of food and tins or whatever, packages or whatever that comes, will then later be distributed between Harp in South End and Baslin's Women Aid. And the offerings over the weekend will go to Chair Fund. But I need to get my little piece of paper. Because I've been suggested that not just a tier fund, which covers so many things, but they have a new project, which is entitled No Child Taken. And their aim is to protect 50,000 children around the world from disease, from trafficking, and from disaster. We can see it in our newspapers, on television, hundreds, thousands, millions of children in Syria and other parts of the Middle East. We can think of children trafficked from places like the Philippines, abused, handed around, similar sorts of stories in places like India and Bangladesh and all around the world. And disasters, natural disasters we might call them. No child is taken in any way, shape or form by those diseases, by trafficking or by those natural disasters. So that's where the money in particular goes. Two-tier fund, but for that particular purpose, and we would keep that in our focus. So that's going to be the focus of our offerings and donation, financial donations next week. Okay, moving on. And in a moment, Vanessa is going to come and bring us a word about building. We had building this morning. Well, we're going to have building tonight again. But before we do that, I believe Andy's going to read some scripture to us.
The first chapter of Haggai. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. The Lord of hosts says this, these people say, the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. The word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you yourself to live in your panelled houses while this house lies in ruin? Now, the Lord of hosts says this, think carefully about your ways. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but never have enough to become drunk. You put on clothes, but never have enough to get warm. The wage earners puts his wages in a bag with a hole in it. The Lord of hosts says this, think carefully about your ways. Go up into the hills, bring down lumber and build the house. Then I'll be pleased with it and glorified. Then I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You expect much, but then it amounts to little. When you brought the harvest to your house, I ruined it. Why? This is the declaration of the Lord of hosts. Because my house still lays in ruin, while each of yours is busy with his own house. So on your account, the skies have withheld the dew and the land its crops. I have summoned a drought on the fields and the hills, on the grain, new wine, olive oil, and whatever the ground yields, on the people and the animals and all that your hand produces. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the entire remnants of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. So the people feared the Lord. Haggai, the Lord's messenger, delivered the Lord's message to the people. I am with you, the Lord's declaration. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the spirit of all the remnants of the people. They began work on the house of Yahweh of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius.
Good evening. Well, it does seem that God's really speaking to us tonight, doesn't it? In lots of ways. I'm sure he's already spoken into your hearts. I really sense God's presence here this evening. And it's strange, isn't it? Unless the Lord builds the house, a house, the work of the builders is wasted. That's what they were looking at this morning. And as you've heard in the reading in the book of Haggai, this is talking about building God's house again. So I wonder what he's saying to us all this evening. But God's house is built in so many different ways, isn't it? It's built in the practical way that we'll be looking at this evening, but it's also built through people like Tear Fund, who go out and are building God's kingdom outside the walls of the churches as we know it. So there's many ways that God is building his house. But going back to Haggai and the building there, we took our grandchildren up to go on the chairlift across the Thames, and they were really excited about it. We were very excited about it as well. But because we went there and back, we had a free entry into this aviation experience, which is next to it. And as you go in there, there is this jet engine. And guess what? For two little boys, it was built of Lego bricks. 165,000 Lego bricks. And I often think, how long did that take? And what instructions did whoever it was have? Because I don't know whether you've ever read any of the Lego instructions today, but they are extremely complicated. And they say for 9 and 10-year-olds it's very easy, but my goodness me, you know, Daddy has to have a look at the instructions to actually build this. And it takes a long time. And sometimes Daddy gets a bit despondent and a bit, you know, he's got other things to do than build this Lego for his son. I mean, he enjoys it, you know, but it takes a long time. And that's almost what we're looking at with Haggai. Just to give a bit of background, the king of Persia, Cyrus, he was moved when he became king to allow the exiled Jews back to Jerusalem. If you remember, the Jews had been exiled because of their unfaithfulness. They'd been in Babylon for 70 years. And King Cyrus, who didn't know the living God, but who God spoke to and who he heard and he obeyed, and he was really moved for the people to return. And many of the people did return. They returned in three sections of lots. And actually what we're looking at with Haggai is the first lot of people that returned. But they returned with a purpose. They returned to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And when they did return, they started to build. They built the altar and they built the foundations. And then opposition came and difficulties came. And they stopped building. And this is when Haggai came on the scene, really. So Haggai, I don't know whether you've ever read the book of Haggai. It's quite short. Second shortest book it is, actually. But it's very simple. It's very clear. But most of all, he is speaking about the heart of God. It was God's grieving heart that came out for me as I was reading this book. We tend to think of God as telling us what to do and various other things, but he's talking about a God whose heart was grieving because his home hadn't been finished. And Haggai's heart was that of at one with God. And the other thing that is quite noticeable about Haggai is that the people listened. I don't know whether you know much of the Old Testament prophets, but many of them suffered horrendously, really, because they spoke out in the name of the Lord. And they were persecuted for that. And people didn't really listen to them because they didn't want to hear the message that God was saying. But in this particular instance, as you heard when Andy read at the end of that chapter 1, the people did listen. So that is something quite unusual about this time. So Haggai, communicating God's heart, a grieving heart, that his house had been left unfinished. I wonder if you've ever thought about God's heart. We've sung tonight how deep the Father's love for us. God's heart. How God feels. Even when he feels angry, he's still loving us. His heart is full of love. Do we ever really know that love and how deep it is? Such an easy word for us today, isn't it? But I think Haggai had some idea of God's heart. He was disturbed when he saw his people going back to what they knew. He'd sent them back to build his house. And when they returned, they must have been... Well, they must have been praising God, mustn't they? They'd been in exile for 70 years, and suddenly now they can go back to their homeland, they can rebuild the temple, they could get their life back with God as it was. They must have been very excited, they must have been praising God, and they started off with lots of enthusiasm. But it was when the difficulties came that the problems arised. I wonder how true that is for us. You know, we can often start off things really enthusiastically, can't we? Going back to the Lego, I'm sure Dad starts off enthusiastically with Dylan building the Lego. And then it gets more difficult because he doesn't understand the instructions and the frustration comes into it and difficulties come into it. Then he goes back to work. He's safer there, really. These people just went back. Perhaps it wasn't time yet to build God's house, they thought. Got all these difficulties now. We've done this bit. It's really difficult now. You know, if God's told me to do this, surely it should be easy. Surely he should pave the way. Surely he should sort it out. Maybe they thought that. But God heard them say that they were saying it isn't time yet to build God's house. And yet, they'd gone back with that specific instruction to build the temple. Had they forgotten that? It's so easy, isn't it, to forget the instructions when we get into our own lives and into our own ways. We get focused on the things that we're looking for. But I think as we look at this, it's good to remember too that if we have accepted the Lord Jesus into our hearts, we are also a temple of the living God. And we're a temple that's under construction. And we're a temple that's being built in the spiritual sense. The temple that the Lord is building within us. As that said, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. The Lord is wanting us to build our house as well as the practical message. So think about that as we look through this. I think it's quite scary for me when I think that the Lord knew what they were thinking and they were saying. He knew they were saying the time has not yet come. I wonder what we're thinking that the Lord knows. I found that quite challenging. We know he knows everything, but here it's very explicit. I know that you're saying the time has not yet come. And then God goes on to ask him another question. Is it a time for you to be building your house? Is this the right time for you to be doing that when I've given you this instruction to rebuild my house? He doesn't come down with a heavy hand. He comes down with a question. And notice he doesn't say it's wrong to build our own homes. He's not saying it's wrong at all to do that. He's saying, is it the time? Is it right to be doing that? It's a bit like in Ecclesiastes, isn't it? It's a time to plant, a time to uproot. Is it time, the Lord is saying, to rebuild my house? There's nothing more annoying, is there? If you've ever had any building work done in your home, and they start off well, you know, they get the foundations and they get halfway up the wall and they suddenly say, oh, we've got 2 weeks' holiday now, and off they go, and it's left, and no progress is made. I wonder how we feel, or whether you've experienced that. It's really annoying, because you're stuck. You can't do anything. That's where God was. He had goodness, plan and purpose. He was stuck, because the people he called to fulfill the role that he wanted, this temple to be rebuilt, weren't fulfilling their part of it. And he then says, think carefully about your ways. Again, he's not being unkind. He's just saying, think about this. Think about what you're doing. Is your heart? Where's your heart in this? Where's your mind? What are you thinking about? What are your conversations about? Think carefully about this. Haven't you noticed all the work you're putting in, and your a purse with holes in it, the money is sort of disappearing and you don't know where it's going. You're working hard, but you don't seem to be harvesting very much. Haven't you noticed that that's been happening? Haven't you asked yourself the question, why is that happening? Didn't you see? Didn't you understand? All that personal effort that they were putting into life that wasn't reaping much. I wonder if that's a place where we've ever been. We've been feeling dissatisfied or a bit unrested. We've been working really, really hard, but somehow it's just not quite meeting our need, not quite speaking to us. If that is the case, seek God and ask God be friends for their wisdom. Is this the right thing to be doing at this time? Is my focus in the right place? And it moves on, and God says again, give careful thought to your ways. Why is it that you're experiencing a famine and a drought? And it really spoke to me that in that first time when he asked them to think, it was all about what they were doing, all about what they could control, what they wanted for themselves. But the second time he's asking them to give careful thought, it's about what man can't control. It's about the harvest. They can only plant the seed, but who makes the crops grow? If there's no rain, the crops won't grow. And if there's no crops, there's no food. That was something that was in God's control. So he takes it from the personal to the wider spectrum. Haven't you noticed? Haven't you asked the question, why is this happening? God was withholding something that was out of man's control. I think we in this country have never really seriously suffered from famine or drought, have we? But we hear many stories of those people suffering in that way abroad. I wonder if there's any questions that we need to be asking ourselves as to why these things happen. I think God's heart wants to draw us into his plans and purposes. He wanted to draw those people back to the plans and purposes that he had for them. He wanted them. It's interesting that Trevor prayed to remember that first love, to remember that time when you first came to Jesus. Maybe God wanted them to remember how they felt when they returned to Jerusalem and they hadn't been there for 70 years. Maybe some of them were going there and had never seen Jerusalem before. But it was difficulties that held them back. And I certainly can say that's true for myself. Difficulties will hold me back. I think, oh, can I do that? Is it right? Should I carry on with this? So easy, isn't it, for us to get disheartened and discouraged. And those people, I think they stopped building after a few years. I think there was about between 10 and 18 years between the time they stopped building and Haggai and Haggai's message that we heard. What was going on in that time? Was God waiting? Was he waiting to see whether the people would think, oh, we should get back to rebuilding God's temple? Was he waiting because he wanted them to remember the call that he'd put on their lives? Was he just waiting quietly? And I wonder what Haggai was doing. Did he have these thoughts in his heart, but he just kept quiet because he thought, well, if I say anything, I'm going to get shouted down? Did he carry that message for 18 years or so? And then suddenly he just couldn't contain this message that God had given him, and he really wanted the people to come back to that task. It's interesting, isn't it? I think it's the things that aren't said in the Bible that are so interesting. I do wonder what Haggai was doing all that time. Did he have that message on his heart? Is there a message that you have got on your heart that you haven't yet spoken out because you haven't felt it's the right time? But when Haggai did come along, he really touched their hearts. And they started to remember why they'd gone back to Jerusalem and the plans and purposes God had for them. He wanted them to look up. He wanted them to look forward. He wanted them to trust in God, who would help them through the difficulties. And the last few verses tell us, don't they, that God said, I will be with you. And he stirred their spirits to the work again. He lifted their spirits. And we can go back to that verse again. Unless the Lord builds the house. And it was as the Lord stirred their spirits again through the boldness of Haggai, speaking that word into their lives, God was enabled to release his spirit in that way and encourage the people. And they did rebuild the temple. And can I encourage you to read chapter 2? Because there's so much in this book that it's incredible. Because they were still got disheartened, because some of them remembered Solomon's temple that was amazing. And this temple wasn't quite so good. And they were disheartened. But God was saying, it's not about the building, it's about my presence. It's about my presence in the building, but my presence in your heart too. And so I think what the Lord is saying to us tonight is, think carefully about our ways. just have a check up from the neck up, if you like. Or whether, was our heart, was our heart relationship with the Lord? And what time are you in? Is it time to restart a God-given task that he gave you? Or is it time to even start something that you know deep down the Lord has spoken to you about? Is it time to consider giving attention to the temple of your heart? Maybe that's something that God wants to speak to you about. Again, Haggai goes into that in chapter 2. How are we? How is our relationship? Or is it time to be at home with family? And only you can answer those questions yourself with God. But we're also, aren't we, about to start on a building project for our fellowship, which is amazingly exciting. But I'm sure there will be difficulties, because that's the very scheme of things, isn't it? I think it's an amazing project. But let's learn from what Haggai is saying, because the people went back and they started off enthusiastically, but when it became difficult, they backed off. My prayer is that we'll be a people who will be able to take what it says in Psalm 23, take the Lord's rod and the Lord's staff and hold on and move through those difficulties brick by brick and see this building completed. And I'm sure that the Lord's blessing will be on that, and he'll be in it with us. As he said to them, he said, I will be with you. And we believe that this is what the Lord is calling us to do as a church. So I think building is what God is talking to us about in all sorts of ways. So I hope that word has spoken to you as it did for me. Think carefully. Is it time? What sort of time are you in today? Let's pray. Father, thank you that even though those words of Haggai were written many, many years ago, we thank you that your word is a living word and that speaks into our lives today. Father, help us to listen to all that you're saying to us individually, Lord, and as a church family. Help us to be a people, Lord, who keep focused on the plans and purposes you have for us. And thank you for the promise that you will be with us as we journey, Lord, in our own hearts, with our church building, in our families. And we thank you for people like Haggai, who stand in your name and encourage us and show us the right way to go. So we praise you, Lord, and we thank you. Thank you that you are a Father who has a huge heart. And thank you that you want the best for each one of us. Because as that takes place in us, Lord, we ripple out your goodness to those around us. So we thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Lord. Lord indeed is building his temple. Let's sing again as we move towards a time round the Lord's table. Hymns of tonight have been helping us focus on the sacrifice that Lord Jesus Christ made in that love that he poured out for us. And we're going to sing now, Jesus Christ, Think About Your Sacrifice.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place once again. Upon the cross where you died, I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. Now you exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at your saving grace. I'm full of praise once again, and I'm full of praise once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my
Take your seats, please. when we come to the Lord's table, of course we're thinking about that sacrifice that he made. But this is something we do together. And I'd just like to read, first of all, some verses from Romans chapter 12. Paul's writing to the church there about love. Love must be secure. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. It's our attitude to
each other
as we gather around the Lord's table. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, had something of a similar nature to say to them as well. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Let's pause for a moment. Do what Paul says. Let's examine ourselves. Where's our heart? Where's our heart for the Lord? Where's our heart for each other? Those who persecute us. Those who mourn. We mentioned some earlier on. Let's just be still and get our hearts in the right position. Get our hearts and minds in the right shape as we gather around the Lord's table. And just think about the sacrifice that the Lord made for each and every one of us. The prayer ministry team is here. They're going to be at the back and down the front here. If anybody would like prayer for healing or anything, they'll just take advantage of that. And there'll be people around to pray for you. And Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, I hope some people are going to come in. Just remind you that this is actually gluten-free bread, which we've done to make it possible for everybody to share in the Lord's bread. So he took bread and he blessed it. Father, we just thank you for your sacrifice. The way that you shed your body on that cross for us. We focus upon your great love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Amen.
Such joy in my salvation, since I gave my heart to you, and I have found the
in the same way, after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
You want to, I'll stand here to offer up this song of love to you. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, I've never known a love like this.
This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's do that. We're going to close our service this evening with another hymn that helps us to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You laid aside your majesty. You gave your life to set me free. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us, to set us free, to give us life, and life more abundant. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the musicians. Thank you for the people who have made it possible with microphones and things like that. There's refreshments at the back, and I do believe there's a nasty rumour. There's cakes as well. Lots of cakes.